Today, markets face reality for now as AI deceives. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, US stocks closed lower on Wednesday as Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's congressional testimony reinforced the central bank's objective to rein in inflation as he hinted at the likelihood of further interest rate hikes. So all three major US stock indices notched their third straight day of declines, with mega-cap tech and tech-related shares weighing the most. It seems the market is catching its breath after a huge start to the month, said Ryan Detrick, chief market strategist at Carsten Group. Historically, June isn't a very strong month for stocks, but this year could go down as one of the strongest Junes ever. So a small break in the run stocks have had is perfectly normal. Tesla, actually, along with AI-related stocks such as Microsoft and Nvidia, were the heaviest drags. Now, in his testimony before the US House Financial Services Committee, Powell reiterated the fact that the central bank remained strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal, and said it would be a pretty good guess that future rate hikes are on the cards if the economy continues on its current path.
Fed remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. My colleagues and I understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and we remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal. Price stability is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve, and without it, the economy does not work for anyone. In particular, without price stability, we will not achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. I will review the current economic situation before turning to monetary policy. The U.S. economy slowed significantly last year, and recent indicators suggest that economic activity has continued to expand at a modest pace. Although growth in consumer spending has picked up this year, activity in the housing sector remains weak, largely reflecting higher mortgage rates. Higher interest rates and slower output growth also appear to be weighing on business fixed investment. The labor market remains very tight. Over the first 5 months of the year, job gains averaged a robust 314,000 jobs per month. The unemployment rate moved up but remained low in May at 3.7%. There are some signs that supply and demand in the labor market are coming into better balance. The labor force participation rate has moved up in recent months, particularly for individuals aged 25 to 54. Nominal wage growth has shown some signs of easing, and job vacancies have declined so far this year. While the jobs-to-workers gap has narrowed, labor demand still substantially exceeds the supply of available workers. Inflation remains well above our longer-run goal of 2%. Over the 12 months ending in April, total personal consumption expenditures prices rose 4.4%, excluding the volatile food and energy categories. Core PCE prices rose 4.7%. In May, the 12-month change in the CPI came in at 4.0%, and the change in the core CPI was 5.3%. Inflation has moderated somewhat since the middle of last year. Nonetheless, inflation pressures continue to run high, and the process of getting inflation back down to 2% has a long way to go. Despite elevated inflation, longer-term inflation expectations appear to remain well anchored, as reflected in a broad range of surveys of households, businesses, and forecasters, as well as measures from financial markets. With inflation running well above our longer-run goal of 2% and with labor market conditions remaining tight, the FOMC has significantly tightened the stance of monetary policy. We've raised our policy interest rate by 5 percentage points since early last year and have continued to reduce our securities holdings at a brisk pace. We have been seeing the effects of our policy tightening on demand in the most interest rate sensitive sectors of the economy. It will take time, however, for the full effects of monetary restraint to be realized, especially on inflation. The economy is facing headwinds from tighter credit conditions for households and businesses, which are likely to weigh on economic activity, hiring, and inflation. And the extent of these effects remains uncertain. In light of how far we have come in tightening policy, the uncertain lags with which monetary policy affects the economy, and potential headwinds from credit tightening, the FOMC decided last week to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 5 to 5.25%, and to continue the process of significantly reducing our securities holdings. Nearly all FOMC participants expect that it will be appropriate to raise interest rates somewhat further by the end of the year. But at last week's meeting, considering how far and how fast we've moved, we judged it prudent to hold the target range steady to allow the committee to assess additional information and its implications for monetary policy. In determining the extent of additional policy firming that may be appropriate to return inflation to 2% over time, we will take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy, the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity, inflation, and inflation economic and financial developments. We will continue to make our decisions meeting by meeting based on the totality of incoming data and their implications for the outlook for economic activity and inflation, as well as the balance of risks. We remain committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal and to keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Reducing inflation is likely to require a period of below-trend growth and some softening in labor market conditions. Restoring price stability, again, is essential to set the stage for achieving maximum employment and stable prices over the longer run. Before concluding, let me briefly address the condition of the banking sector. The U.S. banking system is sound and resilient. As detailed in the box on financial stability in the monetary policy report, the Fed, together with the Treasury and the FDIC, took decisive action in March to protect the U.S. economy and to strengthen public confidence in our banking system. The recent bank failures, including that of Silicon Valley Bank, and the resulting bank stress, have highlighted the importance of ensuring that we have the appropriate rules and supervisory practices for banks of this size. We are committed to addressing these vulnerabilities to make for a stronger and more resilient banking system. We understand that our actions affect communities, families, and businesses across the country. Everything we do is in service to our public mission. We at the Fed will do everything we can to achieve our maximum employment and price stability goals.
Which is what the dot plot told us. Detrick said there could be one more rate hike, but I don't think anyone's buying the fact that there will be two. Markets are assuming that the Fed is very close to being done. At last glance, financial markets have priced in a 74.4% likelihood of another 25 basis point rate hike at the conclusion of July's monetary policy meeting, according to the FedWatch tool. Powell is also scheduled to testify before the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday and will get a replay, I suspect, of his comments again. Anyway, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.3% to 33,951. The S&P 500 lost 0.52% to 4,365. And the Nasdaq dropped 1.21% to 13,502. Among the 11 major sectors of the S&P 500, energy stocks led the gainers, rebounding from the biggest daily plunge in over a month, and tech and communication services suffered the largest percentage drops. Chips weighed heavily on tech shares, with the Philadelphia SE Semiconductor Index down 2.7%. That's the biggest daily decline this month. But Tesla was the biggest drag on the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq, sliding 5.5%. And Barclays downgraded its rating on the stock to equal weight from overweight, saying the electric automaker's recent rally was too sharp relative to fundamentals. A big portion of today's weakness is because Tesla had one of its worst days in a while, Detrick added. It's a stock that was due for a breather as well. After a record win, some kind of weakness is perfectly acceptable and normal. Package delivery firms FedEx and United Parcel Services dropped 2.5% and 2.1% respectively after FedEx posted disappointing quarterly earnings and said waning global demand is pressurizing its profit margins. And crypto firms including Coinbase, Riot Platforms, Marathon Digital and BitDigital gained between 1.8 and 4.2% as Bitcoin breached the $30,000 level, at least for now. But if you stand back and just think of this more strategically, at the start of this year, markets were expecting a bumpy ride through 2023. And yet, the S&P 500 is up almost 15% this year, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ index has advanced by almost twice that amount. But while it's not clear quite what great things have happened in the last 6 months to justify the extraoptimism, it is obvious that the excitement over AI has been an essential ingredient to the positive surprise. Remember, the ChatGPT artificial intelligence service was launched just as strategists began unveiling their 2023 predictions at a time when very few saw a potential AI-charged rally emerging. But, and here's the key thing, if you exclude the most prominent AI stocks, the rest of the S&P 500 is broadly on course for the bad year that people expected. And since then, rate expectations are higher because inflation is more embedded. The Bank of England will lift rates again today, and in Australia, the RBA needs to see unemployment rising to get a grip of inflation as rates stay higher for longer. No wonder the Australian market dropped on Wednesday as well. So as a result, markets are likely to be weaker for longer, to the point where some are arguing we could be seeing a rerun of the 1999 dot-com boom bust. Well, we will see, but certainly for now, the chances of more highs on the indices could be overdone. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.